Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to talk about. We'll get to that sick, crazy Jeffrey Epstein. We'll get to Ross Perot. We'll get to Donald Trump. Bill O'Reilly will be with us a little later this hour. So, speaking of Ross Perot, now he died about an hour ago. The announcement came that Ross Perot had died in the last hour. We talked about it quite a bit. I'm just now starting to get on my phone these alerts. Ross Perot has died. And you ever wonder why, when you get the news alert from whatever news organization you sign up for, the phone alert, it always comes a half hour later, an hour later. You'll see it on TV. You'll hear it on the radio immediately. And then 28 minutes or sometimes an hour later, there it is on your phone. And I've tried to get to the bottom of that. Nobody can quite explain that. The three possibilities are that in each big newsroom, when news breaks, there's the team that gets it on the air. And then there's like one intern whose job is to send the phone alert. So sometimes it's a half hour before they tell that kid to send it. Or the other explanation is some deliberately do that. They want you to always turn to them on the air first. Or the other explanation, just a technical one, is that when they send that alert out, they're sending out like 2 million at once. And that can happen sometimes. When it's millions of people, they don't all go out at once. It takes like 20 minutes or a half hour for them all to send. You know, like if you listen to a show, a radio show on the stream, like if you're listening to me live right now online on the stream, there's a delay sometimes of 30 seconds or sometimes a minute. And that's because there's millions of people listening. If it's 10 people listening, there's hardly any delay, but as more and more and more people listen, the delay gets longer. So that could be it. Ross Perot was 89. He'd been battling cancer for a while. There's a lot of argument. Did he cost George H.W. Bush re-election? The answer is probably yes. I know if you talk to, I love Ed Rollins, and he'll explain that there were 4 million Republican votes that switched over to Clinton. They became disgusted with H.W. Bush because he broke the tax pledge, and the shift of those 4 million Republicans over to Clinton is what cost Bush the election. But there were certain states where Perot cost Bush the electoral votes. Had there been no Perot in the race, it might have been a different thing. And remember, Perot didn't really want to be president. That's really not what he was up to. He was more just trying to screw up George H.W. Bush. They were bitter, bitter, bitter enemies. Perot was great on TV. He was really the first outsider businessman to really, really do well in a presidential race. I mean, to get anywhere, you know, above half of 1%, he did pretty well. And he was the first guy to really be torn apart by the fake news. And he hated the media. He loved Larry King. There were a few hosts. He got along with them because they were nice to him on the air. They were fair with him, but otherwise he was behind the scenes grumbling about the fake news media. And, you know, remember, we were always talking for years about we need people from outside the political system, outside the swamp. You had all these great guys in the private sector, real talent, you know, all the Jack Welch type of guys who could come in and run for office. And why not take that private sector talent? But the problem is, you know, most of them knew that, you know, the opposition research on a candidate is a lot to go through. But now, I don't think you'll ever see anybody from the private sector again because of the fake news media. They'll just forget the opposition research. They'll just make up stuff. They'll just go after you for anything and everything. And if they can't find anything, they'll just make up stuff and trash you with it. Look how much stuff has been made up about Donald Trump. It scares off everybody. Now, you're going to always have exceptions like a Tom Steyer, just a crazy egomaniac. But on the other hand, a far left-wing guy, so fake news will go a lot easier on him and not dig into him too much. The effort to go after Trump continues. Yesterday, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation that the state can release his tax returns. Now, you know, these crazy committees, these Jerry Nadler, Adam Schiff, nutjob committees of presidential harassers have been trying to get Donald Trump's tax forms, and the IRS will not give them up. But the state of New York holds his state tax returns. So they have, these are Trump-hating, crazy liberals that run New York State. They've passed legislation that they'll release his state tax return, which will pretty much tell you the same exact thing that the federal return will tell you. pretty much the same thing. So Governor Cuomo signed it. Now, the only problem is they can't just go around releasing everybody's tax returns. That's not right. So they had to write the legislation properly, which says can be released to a Senate or House committee for legislative purposes. Now, they can't just release the tax forms to crazy, slimy partisan Jerry Nadler. He's going to have to justify what it's for. So the president will go to court and fight this in court because the law has to say it can only be released for a legitimate legislative purpose or some legitimate hearing. This will not qualify. Now, if they decide to impeach him, if they go ahead with impeachment, there's a legislative purpose or an actual hearing. But short of impeachment, I think that probably the president will prevail in court. Now, remember, the Democrats will fight this tooth and nail. And I would predict sometime next year, maybe in the summer of next year, the president does something where his tax returns come out. Because after all of this fussing and fighting, they'll finally come out and you'll find out there was nothing unusual in them, nothing bad in them, and it'll totally turn off the public. It's like another Mueller report, Russia hoax, where you wasted everybody's time for 2 years and there was nothing there. Another hoax, another witch hunt, totally turning off most voters to the Democrats. So just watch for that to happen sometime next year. Joe Biden, the racist? No, it can't be. His wife is this is how bad things are for Biden. You know, they lock him up because he's such a gaffe machine. They sent him out Saturday to make one more speech and Friday for one more interview. And again, he was a gaffe machine. He's on with Chris Cuomo saying that Russian interference in the election, that would never happen on my watch. Well, they had to point out to him, that's when it happened, on your watch. You and Obama were in charge. So he's such a gaffe machine. Now they're sending his wife around to talk for him. The wife on CNN, Jill Biden.
He got into politics because of his commitment to civil rights. And then to be elected with Barack Obama.
Does anybody believe that for a second, that this young Joe Biden, he was so concerned about civil rights, that's why he ran for office. It's not because his dream was to become a lifelong career bureaucrat, to become a government swamp politician. Obviously, that's why he ran. Nobody's buying this other stuff.
And then someone is saying, you know, you're a racist. As soon as I heard those words.
You're not a racist.
I know, but as soon as I heard those words, I thought, uh-oh, what's coming next? And I think the American people know Joe Biden. They know his values. They know what he stands for. And they didn't buy it.
No, they know his values. Career swamp, politician, bureaucrat, lifelong. Can you imagine if you just strapped this woman down right there and injected that truth serum into her for the second half of the interview and then interviewed her? She'd say, well, you know, the truth is I've been married to this guy for 20 years. I never heard him say a word about race. I've never heard him even bring up civil rights. Doesn't seem to be something he's very concerned about.
Well, I knew that there'd be whoever's in the front kind of.
Oh, this is Joe Biden about. Now, why wasn't he prepared to be attacked on that debate?
Well, I knew that there'd be whoever's in the front kind of a target on the back. And I knew that was occurring. And but, you know, what surprised me is the response of people on the street, the people that no matter where I am, there's an enthusiasm and all the talk about hits and the rest. But I keep having endorsement after endorsement.
Yeah. He's kind of a silly old guy, isn't he? You know, when he talks about the reaction on the street, people get excited when they see any celebrity. That doesn't even mean they like him. There could be a celebrity, famous actor, who they can't stand the guy's work. They don't like his movies. They don't watch his TV show. But if there he is in the restaurant or on the street, they run up to him. Can I take a picture? Can I have a selfie? They get all excited when they see any celebrity. I hate to say it, but if Jeffrey Epstein walks down the street, people will run up and take selfies with him. Put it all over Instagram. So the reaction on the street means absolutely nothing. That's why this Tom Steyer is running. He's the billionaire left-wing nut job. So he does a million commercials, spent a fortune on him. You know, if you were really concerned about an issue, climate change or whatever, you could just run a real interesting ad about the issue. But every single ad is the camera on him for the whole ad. It's a close-up of him for the entire ad, him talking. He just wants to be famous. But there's something about this guy. He's the most nondescript guy. You can't remember what he looks like. You just remember he's the guy with the sweater, the gray hair.
But Congress is part of the system, and the system is broken. We have to fix it.
Need to impeach his.
Hey, he goes, I'm Tom Steyer. Picture him. See, you can't. He actually should have been a bank robber for a living, because no, the witnesses could never describe the guy. They wouldn't know what to tell the sketch artist. I don't know, he just looked kind of average. He was so as much as this guy's already spent millions on these TV commercials, still nobody recognizes him. So he's announced now that he's going to enter the race. He'll be running for president. You'll see him in the race pretty soon. Also, now here's the other thing. This Epstein case. This is different from Florida. In Florida, he was able to wiggle out of everything. He had federal charges. He hired the greatest lawyers. He had Alan Dershowitz. You know who really made a difference there is Ken Starr, the former Whitewater prosecutor. Ken Starr got in there. So they got the federal charges dropped. They reduced it to a local case. Everybody, it wasn't just that they were bought off. It's just they brought in some heavyweight guys who had a lot of influence. Robert Mueller had to look the other way on this. James Comey, these guys were at the FBI. They had to kind of look the other way and let it happen. So they let everything get dropped federally. He had to plead guilty to the local charges and do a few months in jail. But they basically got it down from life in prison to a couple of months on a local charge. So now it's different. That was Florida. And you had this guy Acosta as the prosecutor. He's now the labor secretary. You'll never hear the end of this. They're going to, Chuck Schumer already calling for Acosta to be fired immediately. This is Schumer just trying to go after Trump. I don't know anything about Acosta. I don't know if he'll survive this, but this is all different. This is now New York, Southern District of New York. This is a far better office than Florida. These guys are a lot smarter up here. So Epstein will not get away as easily, if at all, like he did in Florida. Now, you might say, well, what about double jeopardy? There's no double jeopardy problem, because most of the things they've come up with, these are all new incidents, all new cases. So all the things he's being hit with, he was not tried for the last time around. These are all new charges, new cases, new incidents, new stuff. So there's no double jeopardy problem. They got into his house. They got opened his safe. There were a ton of pictures in there of underage girls. That alone will put him away. So he's got a huge problem. You'll see the media for the rest of the week try to tie him to Donald Trump. There's no Trump-Epstein connection, except that Epstein came to some parties at Mar-a-Lago, as did every wealthy guy in Florida. And Epstein used to throw parties here in New York. Trump went to one or two of them. They had no connection otherwise. It's not like Clinton and Epstein, where Clinton was on the plane going places with Epstein. Clinton was doing stuff with Epstein. Clinton put out a statement yesterday saying, I never had sexual relations with those 14-year-olds. But basically the statement said, we were traveling on Clinton Foundation business, trying to help wipe out AIDS, wipe out malaria, wipe out this all over the world. Now, one thing I can tell you about Epstein, he would donate to causes if there was a reason. If he needed to do something for somebody, he'd donate to their cause. But he was not a guy who concerned himself with charity. In fact, one thing he was known for, a lot of times if you're the fundraiser for the big charity, you go to the billionaire and you talk about this disease or this cause or this case. And if the guy doesn't want to donate, he'd say, well, send me all the information and let me look it over, and he'd stall. But with Epstein, and I've heard this from a lot of people, he'd just say, well, I don't care about that. I'm not interested. Don't want to donate. I'm not interested. So he was not a big charity guy. So if he was traveling around with Bill Clinton, believe me, Jeffrey Epstein was not concerned with malaria. This was not a big thing. And he was concerned with that as much as Biden was concerned with civil rights. Who knows what he was doing with Bill Clinton, but Clinton. Another thing about Epstein, years ago when he got in trouble, he'd turn in other people. He's a guy who will rat out other people if it'll help him. So if there's anything on Bill Clinton, he better be worried. Now, nobody knows what Epstein does for a living. He's not a hedge fund guy. He never had a hedge fund. He does something with money, with investing, something. Nobody knows what. In every investigation of him, they cannot get financial documents or financial records. They can't get to the bottom of what he does. He has been close to some Ponzi scheme guys who he has turned in or ratted on, and some of them have gone to jail for many years. So you wonder, how does he know these guys, or what does he have to do with these guys? So that'll be interesting. And again, the Southern District, they're a lot sharper than those Florida prosecutors, so they may get to the bottom of all this stuff. Hey, can anybody figure out why crime is way down in New York? I mean, this commissioner, James O'Neill, good police commissioner, but you couldn't have a better commissioner than Ray Kelly, and you had Bill Bratton, you had all these guys, but the mayor bragging about crime is down 5%. Maybe I gotta look into this and see exactly what happened here. Maybe it was just up the last year or two so much. Crime is down, but I wouldn't say the streets are better now. I mean, they got more homeless than ever before. This crazy mayor is opening a homeless camp in every neighborhood everywhere. The subways have been taken over by panhandlers and homeless and everywhere. Hey, by the way, tomorrow's the parade, 9:30 or something like that. Wall Street, Canyon of Heroes, all of that. Mayor de Blasio. This is so important, he may actually even show up.
So it'll be the parade and a ceremony where we'll honor them. It's going to be a great party for New York City. And we're so proud of our American women. They did an amazing job. We want to honor them the right way.
Yeah, remember, this is the mayor that doesn't go to anything. Won't go to a Yankee game. Won't go to any important event in New York. Won't attend anything. But he found out that this, what the hell's her name? Rapinoe, whatever her name is a big Trump hater. Who's attacking Trump all the time. So he'll be there. For that, he's going to show up.
Last time, it was pretty much the same timing, if I remember correctly, and we had an extraordinary event. I mean, that was just, it was a...
Okay, now you remember a week ago, every Democrat screaming about the cost of the 4th of July parade. Why should we spend money on this? Why can't this money be used for infrastructure? Why can't this money go here? Why are we wasting money on a parade? You hear de Blasio question tomorrow? This parade, what do you think it costs to close Wall Street in the middle of the day? In Manhattan, it costs millions of dollars. Suddenly, I don't hear anybody questioning any costs. We'll take some calls when we come back. Bill O'Reilly will be with us in a couple of minutes. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Now, you remember the 4th of July mistake? The president was, the teleprompter broke. He was trying to remember the speech, and he said something about Revolutionary War and the airports, and they were all over him for this gaffe. Obviously, just made a mistake. Of course he knows there were no airports in the Revolutionary War. The first president ever who's owned an airline. Who owns planes? He knows more about planes than any of these presidents. But just a simple mistake. But nobody made more of those than Barack Obama, and they never got covered. Obama once said there were 57 states. It was Obama that said Hawaii is in Asia. There's a million of these. Here's a montage, a video montage of a bunch of them, and you'll be amazed at the stupid things, the mistakes, the gaffes that Obama said that never got covered. Watch this video. Hey, also take a look at this other video. This is very important. It's Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. They'll improve your life and your business. They'll give you a lesson on how to manage time. It's really good. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
The Mark Simone Show.
710WOR.
Well, let's take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Selma in Ridgewood. Hey, Selma.
Thank you, Mark. I love you, and I want to tell you that I love Ross Perot. I was early on when I voted for him, and I remember when he told us, if you vote for the cute guy, Clinton, we will get NAFTA, and most of your jobs will disappear, which is the truth. That's exactly what happened. He also advised us that it's against the law in our country to use DDT, but it wasn't in Mexico, that we would be buying produce from them that would increase the ante of cancer in our country because we would be buying produce that was sprayed with DDT.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of, they got rid of DDT and those pesticides. They got rid of that in a lot of parts of the world. Of course, that brought back, that's why malaria came back. That's why bed bugs came back. So there's pros and cons there. But you're right. He was in those big debates. That was the second time around. It was NAFTA, and Bill Clinton had Al Gore debate Ross Perot on the Larry King show. They did, I think it was three of them. And remember, it was Gore pushing NAFTA. Gore, Clinton, they were the globalists. You know, they were the open borders crowd. They wanted NAFTA. And it was Perot that kept saying, you'll hear a giant sucking sound. All the jobs going away. Remember, they made fun of him on Saturday Night Live. And it turned out he was right. All the jobs did go to Mexico. All those manufacturing jobs. Let's go to John in Staten Island. Hey, John.
Hey there, Mark. It's a funny thing with... De Blasio says there's no high crime rate. Yeah. Why do I watch every channel on the news and it's a shooting, a rape, punching out, and they made felonies into misdemeanors?
Well, there's always a crime, and there's always a crime, but there is less than before. If you went back and got a newscast from like 1978, it was all crime. So it has gone way, 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 way down. But you got to remember, if you follow Bill Bratton and many, many years of Ray Kelly, I think he was the longest serving police commissioner ever, you're basically just keeping intact what he had. And O'Neill's a good commissioner, but had there been none of those guys and you just started from scratch, I don't think you'd have this crime rate right now. Let's go to Richard in Queens. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? This women's soccer team, their whole battle cry is, you know, equal this, equal men, equal pay with men, equal standing with men. But their whole lot in life, their whole sport, their whole industry is segregated. Men can't play with women. Women can't play with men.
That's a good point. Yeah, you want equality? Let men play in that league. Let's see what happens. You know, it's equal pay means equal revenue. Let's see the women's soccer league bring in the same revenue as the men's soccer league, and then you get equal pay. But you're right. Shouldn't some man show up and try to apply for that league and sue if he can't get in? Let's go to Ernest in Morristown. Hey, Ernest.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, speaking about that girls' soccer team, you're right on the money. If de Blasio's accepting them for a parade because they're bad-mouthing Trump, they should be ashamed for what they did, bad-mouthing the United States and Trump. If they're going to have a parade, I know where they should have it. Downtown L.A. and Tent City. They should be stepping over all the refuge. So that's where they belong.
Yeah, right. Put it right there in the Canyon of Zeros in L.A. You're right. Mayor de Blasio, he found out they hate Trump. They disrespected Trump. The flag was on the ground. I love this Snopes, this fake website, Snopes. It's a couple of amateurs in Michigan run this fake website called Snopes. And the question was, did she actually step on the flag? And they said, false, mostly false. They said the flag accidentally dropped and her boot happened to step on it. But that, I refuse to go to the White House. De Blasio, she didn't even have to play. If she wasn't even in the game, de Blasio, just for that, de Blasio would be throwing her a parade. So it's tomorrow, by the way. If you're thinking of driving into Lower Manhattan, forget about it. It's going to be a mess. Hey, when we come back, Bill O'Reilly will be with us. You know about the plan? He wrote a great column about this. The plan. The socialism, all that. They're not just talking. There's a plan there. We'll get to that in a moment.
Now you can catch up with what you missed from Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Well, Bill O'Reilly, of course, number one television, number one best-selling nonfiction author ever. A new book coming out very soon. You can pre-order it. In fact, you should pre-order it right now. It's called The United States of Trump. Get the book. Go to BillO'Reilly.com. You can get the TV show, the column, the message of the day, BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, how you doing?
Good, Mark. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, you must have encountered Ross Perot here and there. What'd you think of him?
Once in a while, I thought he was a good guy in the sense that he loved his country and saw, you know, a vision that he could use his entrepreneurial skills to improve it. So I didn't have any beef with him. He was a little eccentric. I never got the enamored, Perot was always enamored with Larry King. Remember those?
Yeah.
Those two? I guess they went camping together. I don't know what that was all about. But, you know, I had a good life, Perot. Did a lot of things.
It's hard to imagine that world, though. You were not, there was no Fox News Channel. There was no MSNBC. There was just this one network. And really, the only big political show was Larry King at 9 o'clock. So it's not that King did so well. It's just he was the only game in town.
Yeah, a totally different country then. The information flow was much limited, much more limited than it is today. There's good and bad about that. There were more discipline in the way information was presented. Now you can't believe 60-70% of what you hear. But at the same time, the elites controlled everything. And, you know, I think we could probably find a middle ground between what we have now and what we have then that would be more beneficial to the country than the brawl that's going on.
Yeah. So this Tom Steyer is getting in the race. Now here's another billionaire, but this one a little kooky and, well, what is he up to? Just ego and fame? And
no, he's just a true believer. He's like George Soros, the same kind of far-left look at the world. I don't know him, never met him. He has no chance. He's getting in because he was disillusioned that the Democrats in the first debate didn't bring up the impeachment thing. That's what his deal is all about. So that's why he wants the forum.
Yeah. Everybody go to BillO'Reilly.com and read the. You wrote a great column about, you know, the Soros and all the. There's a plan. There's a master plan these guys have. And it's a frightening column that you've written.
You know, I got a lot of reaction to this column. We put it out on the radio. I do a radio broadcast every day now. And we talked about it, obviously, on the website you were kind enough to mention. But there is a plan in place, and it's a very sophisticated situation that would affect every single American. And we have no idea what this plan is, but it's on display in Europe. And when I was in Germany and Austria last week, I saw it firsthand. And in a nutshell, the plan is to make it impossible for Americans to accumulate wealth by taxing them so much that, yes, you'll be able to have your beer and chips, you'll be able to have your wine, you'll be able to go out to dinner and see the games, but you're not going to have anything left over. The government is going to control all that. It's going to confiscate anybody who's got a lot of stuff, and that's the vision of the far left, which says that would then eliminate inequality. See, inequality would go down if you made it impossible for people to get wealthy. That is the plan.
You know, as some people pointed out, it's not just income inequality, it's effort inequality. You can be Jeff Bezos if you want to be. He just started a business in his garage. This is open to anybody. Anybody can do this.
Well, if you go to Europe, and particularly Germany, because that's very much like the United States. I was in Munich. Munich could be a U.S. city, except for the language and the old buildings. People are industrious. They work hard. They have nice cars. They live in small homes. But they can't save any money because they're taxed so high on everything that any discretionary income is taken away from them. Therefore, they can't invest in stocks and bonds. They can't buy extra properties. They can't accumulate wealth. And that is what George Soros and the Democratic Party, which is bought into all this, wants. Yet Americans don't understand that the left and the far left want to limit your options, want to make it impossible for you to gain in status. Look, Mark, I'm like you, working class home. All right, I was born in Manhattan, up in Columbia Presbyterian, raised on Long Island at Levittown. And my parents didn't have any money. Okay, well, I made a lot of money because I was allowed to develop my skills and at least keep a good portion of it, which I invested wisely. That's impossible now under the Democratic view. If you put a Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris in the White House, they're going to change everything in this country, and everybody's going to be affected by it.
You know, you look at these hedge fund guys, these super wealthy hedge fund guys. Most of them are working class guys. They went to community colleges. It's not like they were born into some royal family or secret club. Again, anybody can do this stuff.
There's very little aristocracy in the United States. Most of the people who have money, some inherited it, but they inherited it from entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are the ones that get wealthy, unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody like that and you get lucky, or a fabulous athlete. Okay, but it's entrepreneurs that really accumulate wealth in this country. Very few of them. Very few. But the left doesn't want any. They want to take from you and give to people who don't have.
Yeah, you know, they keep saying government-funded healthcare, government-funded education. This is taxpayer-funded. It's not the government.
Well, it's interesting because in Germany, you got to pay 12% health tax. So it's not free. All right. And after you pay the 12% health tax on your salary, all right, you're also taxed at a rate of federal income tax by Berlin. You pay a local tax to the Munich authorities of 8%, and then a VAT on everything you buy of 19%. Add it up. You don't have anything left over from your paycheck. And then when you do buy the national health care in Germany, they tell you where you go, what doctor is going to be, and how long it's going to take. And it's not fast.
Yeah.
So do you want, you, the American citizen, do you want to let the government run your whole medical portfolio? Is that what you want? If you do, vote for the Democrats.
Yeah, you know, good example. You look at Mick Jagger. You couldn't be a bigger guy in England than Mick Jagger. As soon as he needed a heart operation, he came right to the United States. He didn't trust
him. He got out of there a long time ago. I think Jagger, if I'm not I may be wrong on this, but I think he's a citizen of Mustique in the Caribbean. I think that's where he went to dodge the onerous British taxes. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that, but I know he's got a big spread on Mustique.
Yeah.
Most of the British people, Sean Connery lives in Bahamas. McCartney still lives in England, but I'm not sure about where he's registered. A lot of them went to Spain. You can't go to Spain now, but back in the 60s you could. So, yes, there are a lot of people trying to, you know, keep some of the money they earn.
Yeah. Everybody should get Bill O'Reilly's new book. It's coming. When's it coming out?
September 24th. We just got galleys. I'm going to send one to you, but you got to be sworn to secrecy.
I'll keep a secret.
You can say whether you like it or not, and you can tell your audience, and I know you'll do that honestly, whether you like the book or not. It's a book that is a history of Donald Trump and how he did what he did and who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to learn something on every page.
It'll be the definitive Trump book. But let's be honest, you're the number one best-selling nonfiction author in the history of the world. Does it matter if I like it or I don't like it?
Well, it matters to me. I mean, I sent it out to two very famous people, journalists, and they read it. And one of them loved it. Mm-hmm. And one of them hated it. Okay. Hated it. And you would know the name in a heartbeat.
Okay,
but I'm not going to say it because they did me a favor by reading the book. But I peeled it back on talking to him. And he just despises Donald Trump so much that he couldn't get by the fact that I wasn't ripping his lungs out.
Yeah.
Because that's not my job. My job is to tell you in the United States of Trump the facts, not to make a judgment on those facts. Although I do make judgments about mistakes he made in a historical context and good things he did. But if you hate Trump, you don't want to hear about the good things he did.
Okay, but let's be honest. You've sold a trillion times more books than this guy. Who cares what he thinks?
No, but I wanted to get the other side. Part of my success, I believe, is that I always listen to the other side. And I always try to figure out what their main argument is so that I can make a stronger argument. So I did want the people who are very skeptical of Trump to read it. Yeah. And it was an interesting reaction.
Huh. Well, I can't wait to read it. Because first of all, a lot of guys have written books about Trump, but you knew him for all these years. So you've got
30 years. I could separate bull from truth pretty quickly because of what I know from him. In fact, I was having a conversation the other night about somebody was accusing Trump of some heinous thing. And I looked at the person and I said, it's not his style.
Yeah.
I've known the guy for 30 years. And the guy, Donald Trump, is a creature of habit. He's methodical in what he does. I said he would never do anything like that.
Yeah.
And that shut the guy down who was accusing him of this crazy thing. And I said, look, I know the guy. I would tell you if he's capable of it. And in this case, he isn't.
Well, everybody go pre-order the book. I don't know why, but when you pre-order it, you always get it first.
Yeah, you get it first if you go to BillO'Reilly.com or Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and order it now. I think the first week, advance orders are going to be over 100,000. So get online early and you get it fast.
It's called The United States of Trump, Bill O'Reilly's new book. Go to BillO'Reilly.com. You can get the column, the TV show, all the radio show, all that stuff, BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for being with us.
Okay, Mark, talk soon.
Right.
Thank you.
Take
Bye.
Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. Some great stuff up there. You know, Trump made that gaffe about airport, Revolutionary War, everybody in fake news making fun of him. Barack Obama used to do that all the time. The stupidest gaffes, you know, saying there's 57 states or saying that Hawaii is in Asia. He used to do that constantly. Watch this video montage of a bunch of them, and you'll wonder, how come you've never seen these before? It's because fake news would ignore it when he did it. They'd never cover it. Also, very important video. Watch this. It's Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, on how to manage your time. This will help your business, your life. Watch this video. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark, 710WOR.com/Mark.